Turn to Galatians chapter 6. If you don't have a Bible, there's a Bible up there. There's some Bibles in the back. We'll be flipping through all over the place. Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. Bear one another's burdens, and thus fulfill the law of Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we ask you, God, that you would come and, Lord, release the revelatory ministry of the Holy Spirit right now in this room. Lord, give us ears to hear and a heart to receive what the Spirit is saying to us today, God. And Lord, I pray that you would use these words, God, in this message to transform us in some way, Jesus. Lord, make us more like your Son. God, we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You know, there are watershed moments in history, in our lives. We've, you know, been a part of some parts of history, some other parts we haven't been. You know, as an American, our parents' generation, they would have remembered exactly where they were when John F. Kennedy was assassinated. It's a watershed moment. Ourselves, we have a watershed moment. September 11th, 9/11. You know, I remember exactly where I was when I saw on television's, you know, set, you know, and I saw one plane hit, and, you know, I mean, I just woke up, turned the TV on, and, you know, it was like all the news, I mean, people were going crazy, and, you know, they had the picture, and maybe about like a minute after I turned the TV on, I saw right then the other plane hit the other tower, and all of a sudden it just crumbled, and I just sat there, and I thought it was a dream. I thought it was a movie, actually. You know how, like, you know, and especially like in coming from LA, like all the movies, those are real like those reporters are real reporters. They're not actors, right? And so you think, oh, I've seen this guy in some movie before. You don't really think much about it, you know. And then you realize that the depth of exactly what happened. And for in that moment, the world changed forever, right? The way we looked at countries, and you know, and the way that we looked at people groups, and especially if I don't know if you remember, but they would scan, you know, they show what's happening in New York, and they would show like Saudi Arabia, and they'd show some other countries, and people were actually dancing in the streets. I don't know if you remember that. It was probably the most appalling thing I've ever seen on television, you know. And you know, there was a celebration even in the midst of a tragedy, you know. And the loss of 9/11, you know, it serves as a permanent reminder, right, that each one of us, right, we cannot face life's tragedies alone. You know, there's something about the way God had wired us, and He's connected us in some way, that we are not our own island, that we need each other. You know, and September 11 was such a beautiful portrayal of that. You know, I went to New York, actually, about 3 weeks after it happened. I was speaking at a conference for NYU and Parsons students. And, you know, so we actually, had, you know, I took a jogging route, and I jogged right up to the front as close as I can get, you know, without, you know, you couldn't get in because you needed security badges and whatnot. And I could just smell death, if I can, as clearly as possible. It was just kind of a weird stench, you know, in that old area. And I remember what it looked like. And, you know, but in the midst of the stench of death, there were also other things that were happening. You know, there were people that owned restaurants that were serving free food, you know, all throughout. I mean, 5-star restaurants, you know, that were going in every single day and serving food. I had a good friend of mine. He's a friend of a friend that just left his work. You know, he lived in North Carolina. He just left, and just got a big truck, and he just went straight to New York City as soon as it happened. You know, and brought clothes and brought, you know, food and money and water and just, you know, collected from his church, and he just took off. He knew that there would be a need. You know, and you hear about stories over and over again how people gave of themselves and sacrificed. You know, and really come together as a country, as a people. You know, and said, man, we really need each other in the midst of this tragedy. You know, and all to say that we don't need September 11th to remind us how much we need one another. You know, and that's such a stark, you know, portrayal of it. But we have these reminders every single day of our lives, right? We are not our own island. We, all of us, in some way, we need each other, right? God wired us this way. And this is why, as a church, we're here to help brothers and sisters carry the burdens of life. You know, it could be a loss, it could be crushing circumstances, it could be a painful diagnosis that you may receive. You know, it could be many different things. Your parents could be ill, you know, financially strapped. You know, there are so many things can happen. You know, and I think the greatest tragedy that we can live is not having anyone to share our burdens with, you know, and not share our hearts with someone else. And especially in the midst of difficult circumstances and situations in our lives. You know, and we go to Galatians chapter 6, and this is what Paul tells us, right? He says, bear one another's burdens, and thus you fulfill the law of Christ. You know, I wanted to see what Eugene Peterson was saying about this, and so I went to my Bible, the Message, and in the Message, this is how he translates it. He says, stoop down and reach out to those who are oppressed. Share their burdens and so complete Christ's law. If you're too good for that, you are badly deceived. You know, I just kind of like the way he puts things, right? Stoop down and reach out to those who are oppressed. Share their burdens and so complete Christ's law. If you're too good for that, right, you are badly deceived. You know, I went to my Greek Bible and I looked up the word bear because I didn't quite get it from what Paul's writing here. And the word bear in Greek is a word called bastazo. And the literal translation means to take up with the hands. You know, another one is to take up in order to carry or bear or to put upon oneself something to be carried. Means to bear, basically the context is bear something that is burdensome, right? It also means to carry on one's person personally, right? To sustain, to uphold, to support, or to bear away or to carry off. And so when Paul is writing this and he's saying bear one another's burdens, he's not just talking about an unemotional attachment. You know, like we see this, you know, things are happening and we're like, oh, dude, that's tough, man. Sorry, dude. You know, you just kind of move on. That's not what Paul is talking about. He's not talking about empty empathy, or sympathy. What he's talking about is that you actually take it. And it's the word that bear in the Greek is taking of your hands. In other words, you get your hands dirty. You know, you get involved deeply inside where you physically touch. You know, and then it's not just a kind of a distant relationship, but you get your hands dirty because it involves hands, but you put that upon yourself. And there's almost a transaction that takes place. And this is what Paul is talking about, right? This bastazo, right? To take up with your hands, to carry yourself, to put on oneself. And most of the times when this is written, it's written in the form of some kind of burden. Right? And so for us, when he asks us to bear one another's burdens, when he asks us to give of ourselves to one another, he's saying, get a little dirty, because it's going to get dirty. Right? It's not going to be, you know, the joy of our lives sometimes, but we're going to fulfill Christ's law and something is going to happen in our lives. Right? According to Paul in Galatians 6:2, our support of one another must go beyond mere emotional empathy. Right, we're to get sweaty and messy, you know, as we help face other people's burdens with them, you know, that threaten to overwhelm them and destroy them, you know. And if you think about this, this is a perfect illustration of the same word is used also in the book of John, where Jesus is carrying this burden, you know, and it's so, and this cross, and it's so heavy that, remember, Simon the Cyrene comes and he picks up this thing, and he was bearing the cross. I mean, that was the literal, exactly what Paul is getting to here in Galatians chapter 6, that he was literally bearing that cross. You know, if you can imagine Jesus on the road to Golgotha, you know, and the heaviness of that cross was just overwhelming, you know, and we all saw the Passion of the Christ, right? You know, he falls to the ground, and Simon comes, and he comes alongside, and he picks up that cross, right? He carries Christ's burden in essence, and he takes it with him, you know. And I actually like that part in the movie because I didn't really think about that so much. Remember how tired Simon was? Remember in the Passion of the Christ, you know, he was huffing and puffing, and I mean, he was just wasted after carrying that cross all the way up to the top, you know. And I thought, man, what a great picture of what Paul is trying to say, right? Bear one another's burdens, get a little dirty, right? Get in someone's face. You know, tackle something and put it on your shoulders. And if you have to, carry it for them for a little while. You know, that's why, you know, we always love the footprints, right? You know, I've used that probably more in evangelism than any other anecdote, even in the scriptures. You know, sometimes John 3:16 really doesn't do it for a person that doesn't know John 3:16, right? And so I always use footprints. And people, they always enjoy that, you know, that story for some reason. You know the story, right? There's these footprints and this guy's journey of his life. You guys all know this story, right? I don't have to repeat it. It's okay. You know, but the great thing about this is, you know, that in the midst of that story, right, it's when Christ picked up that person in the most difficult parts of their life, and he carried them. You know, and this is a picture here of what Paul is trying to tell us, that we were made for this in this way. You know, Martin Luther, he refers to this, what he calls the law of mutual love. And he says, as a community of believers, we are to work together to face life's many challenges. You know, right? Mutual love, the law of mutual love. I love the way he says this. You know, and this is how we express our love to one another, is that we help each other along this process and this journey of faith that each of us are on. You know, and we're to remind ourselves, right, that our acts of love and our support for one another complete, it says, Christ's laws, right, are the law of Christ. You know, and it's really interesting that Paul would begin to deal in this whole idea of the law of Christ. Because if you think about it, it doesn't really make sense, right? The law of Christ, right? I mean, I thought Christ is all about freedom. I thought Christ abolished the law, right? And Paul is reintroducing this thing here, and he's talking about this law of Christ. What is this law of Christ? Right? The law of Christ is basically, right, to act agreeably to the law of his precepts, which is the law of love. Right, this is what he's saying. The law of Christ is the law of love. It's mutual forbearance and forgiveness. It's sympathy with and compassion for one another. You know, and if you think about this, it's an actual beautiful portrayal of the way he says the law of Christ, because this is how Christ lived his life. And if you think of our relationship with Christ, you know, and he says, right, do unto others as, you know, in the same way. Look at this. Jesus bears our weakness, bears our sin, offers us forgiveness and restoration. And all Paul is saying is, you should do the same. Bear one another's burdens. You know, if you read this in context, obviously, to the verse before, you know, let's read it in Galatians 6:1. It says, brothers, even if a man is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself, lest you too be tempted. And so bear one another's burdens and thus fulfill the law of Christ. And so he's talking about this in terms of, you guys be proactive. You know, someone is messing up, someone is not living the life that they should be living, be proactive. You know, but don't look down upon them. You know, and don't think, oh, you butthead or you knucklehead. I know I do that all the time, but I got to stop doing that, I realize. You know, instead, you know, find some way to pick them up, you know, and in that same way, bear their burdens along the way. You know, and this is exactly what Christ has done for us. He gave us the perfect example of how to bear one another's burdens by dying on the cross. Man, if you're not convinced, just look at the cross. All right, this is the perfect example of what it truly means to truly bear someone else's burdens. Right? Christ died not for his sins, because he was sinless. Christ died for our sins. You know, and because we're forgiven, because he bore our sins, because he carried our cross, then surely, as brothers and sisters in Christ, we can carry our friend's cross. We can carry our neighbor's cross. Right? We can carry our boss's cross, our co-worker's cross, you know, wherever that may be. You know, and this is the law of Christ. You know, it's actually amazing if you think about this as well. And you know, the religious leaders of Jesus' time used the law of Moses to put unnecessary burdens on others. And Paul is totally changing the whole scope. This is why, I mean, you know, we say this all the time, right? If you're living in the first century and you're a Palestinian and you're listening to this, you're reading this letter, or this letter is being read to your church, think about what's going on, right? You've grown up your whole life and religious leaders have poured burdens upon you over and over and over again. You hear the message of the gospel that these burdens are gone. And now Paul says, but let me tell you what, you go bear someone else's burden now. You know, and where the agent, right, the agent generally was one that was putting burdens on others. And Paul is totally reversing this ancient trend. And he's saying, no, I don't want you to put burdens on other people. I want you to bear other people's burdens and take it upon yourself. Right? This was so countercultural. Right? I mean, what Jesus says and what Paul is saying is so revolutionary. I mean, can you imagine what kind of community we would have? You know, what kind of world we would live in? You know, if we just simply followed this simple precept in our lives, can you imagine the countries that would be totally changed? Instead of burdening people over and over again, that we ourselves would carry someone else's burden? You know, that's one thing I really respect about Bono, right? You know, from U2. And I know it's like, where does Sam get this, right? I'll throw it out in left field, you know. But you know, Bono is going around the world basically campaigning, you know, for the year of Jubilee. You know, in essence of canceling out debt, in countries. You know, some countries are under massive debt. And he's asking these wealthy nations to basically just take it. You know, I mean, just suck it up, basically, and just take the loss. You know, and countries and governments are actually doing it. You know, this is the most amazing thing. You know, I mean, can you imagine what kind of world we would live in? You know, if even 10% of our world lived like that? You know, even, I mean, you know, of course, we can't be, you know, held responsible for governments and, you know, those kind of things. But can't we be responsible for our church? Now, we can be responsible for our own lives. If we lived in this way, if we bared other people's burdens, you know, that we weren't just so concerned about ourselves. This is the law of Christ. Christ died, right? He lived a life not for himself, but he lived it for other people. Right? He says in John, he says, I didn't come to be served. I came to serve. You know, and Paul is saying, bear one another's burdens. This is the law of Christ. This is how God asks each of us to live our lives, not for ourselves. You know, don't think that you have to be so sacrificial in your life. You can't enjoy anything. That's not what he's saying. You know, when situations come and situations arise in your life that you can help somebody, Paul says, do it, man. Help. And he'll say later on in other epistles, man, he says, and if you can help someone, especially in the household of God now, he says, do it now. You know, and this is what he's getting to. You know, and this is how Jesus lived his life. You know, and just simply by that example, now we should totally give our lives to that. You know, there's a story, I probably shared this before, I really like this one. It's a true story. It's Leonardo da Vinci. And da Vinci had some students over one day, and as he was there, he started on his painting, and you know, he put some paint together, splashed it on, he basically started this whole work. You know, and then he stopped all of a sudden, and he turned to one of his students, and he says, finish it, right? The student walked up to the portrait, and I kind of did one of these, you know, like artsy things, you know, trying to get some perspective. And then he looked over to Da Vinci and says, Master, I cannot. You know, who am I to complete this masterpiece of yours? You know, and Da Vinci, you know, the story goes, Da Vinci was incensed. He was picked off. You know, and he turned over to his student and he says, what I have started, does this not inspire you to do your very best? You know, and that story always rings in my heart because I sense Jesus always asking me the same question. You know, Jesus lived this life and he asked us to live in such a way. And he showed us the way, you know, and he didn't show it. He said, I am the way. You know, and he gave us the Sermon on the Mount and parable after parable after parable. You know, story after story after story. He demonstrated to us how we should live our life. You know, and now here we are. We're on this planet as representatives of Christ. You know, and God is basically saying, finish the work. Right? Jesus is saying, finish the work that I've started. And most of us, well, I'm just a humble servant. I can't do that. Jesus, man, that's you. How can I, you know? Well, and Jesus says, greater works will you do than even I did because I go to the Father. Right? Book of John. You know, and a lot of times when I think about that, I see Jesus staring at me. He says, Sam, what, you know, look at what I've started. Does this not inspire you to do your very best? You know, and then I have to sit and say, yes, God, we can't finish this thing. I mean, we really can't finish this thing. You know, and in the shadow of 9/11, obviously I'm speaking on 9/11 because it was yesterday. I don't know if you guys were aware of that. You know, some of you guys are probably living your life, you're totally clueless, but it was a very sober day. You know, we see more clearly, right, our need to face any tragedy by standing shoulder to shoulder. Right, each one of us, you know, we build our lives on the promises of the Father, who will never leave us and never forsake us. You know, we need to offer that same promise to our families and friends. I just want to share a few things, some principles on how to bear one another's burdens. Number one, open your hearts to God. Right? Open your hearts to God. You know, when we feel all sorts of emotions and all sorts of crises in our life, you know, fear, anger, worry, depression, resentment, helplessness, right? We should open our hearts to God as well as open our hearts to one another. Right? This is a real, real important in our lives. You know, Psalm 62:18 says, pour out your heart before Him. Right? God is a refuge to us. Right? Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge to us. Psalm 34:18 says, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Jesus also said in Matthew 5:4, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. You know, whenever a crisis hits, and this is, I'm throwing this both ways, either if you're having a burden or if you're going to help someone carry a burden, this is kind of both ways. One of the first things you do, if you're helping someone, you need to encourage them to open up their heart to God. Right? You need to encourage them to really, you know, begin to give God all their emotions. You know, I think the worst thing we can do to God is just hide ourselves. You know, that we're troubled, you know, that we're having difficult times, and we hide ourselves. That's why I love that movie, Forrest Gump. You know, do you remember Forrest Gump and Captain Dan? Right? You know, Captain Dan, you know, he actually was saved. He should have died in Vietnam, you know, like his whole predecessors, you know, all his generations had died before. You know, and Captain Dan is finally, you know, you could tell he's pretty ticked at God his whole life. You know, turns becomes an alcoholic and all these things. And there's a scene where he's on, you know, Gump's shrimp boat, you know, and they're up and this huge storm hits. Remember, Captain Dan is on top of the mast and he's like arguing with God. He's like flipping God off and he's like, come and get me, you know, all these things. And I thought, man, what a great way to express yourself before God. I'm telling you, God can take it. And He really can. You know, He's not a fragile figure in heaven. You know, He's not going to be offended by the things that we say. You know, here He knows the blackness of our hearts and He accepts us anyway. I mean, think about that. Right? And when there are crises and if you're either helping someone or you're on the other side, man, open your heart to God. Right? Open yourself up to the Lord. You know, share with Him all of your emotions. Share with Him your hurts. Share with Him, you know, even, I mean, sometimes I'm like, God, I wouldn't do it this way. You know, I think You really messed up. You know, and once I really begin to share myself, you know, before the Lord, you know, and then, you know, there's a calmness that comes. I mean, you know, if you want to see a great example, go through the book of Psalm, right, and read what David did all the time. You know, he's sitting there always like, God, where are You? You know, God, don't You love me? Am I not Your friend? You know, and I mean, he just does that for the first part of the Psalm, and he always comes back to the next part. He says, God, You are my rock and my refuge, a God in whom I will not, a God in whom I will trust. And you see this a common theme all throughout David, and you want no wonder that guy was a man after God's own heart. Right? Because he freely shared with God whatever was going on. You know, and one of the ways, if you want to relieve burden or whatnot, is to really pour yourself out before the Lord. You know, and before one another. Right? This is going to be a very important thing, you know, that happens in our life. So number one, open your heart to God. Number two, help others receive. Help others receive. Don't allow your brothers and sisters to isolate themselves when they're going through difficulties. Right? You know the whole idea. You know that you know, Paul says we are not unaware of his schemes, right? We know exactly what he's going to do. We know his tactics, his strategies. You know what the main strategy the enemy does is? It's to separate you. It's to isolate you. Because when he's got you one-on-one, you are dead meat. Right? And isn't this what happens, right? We go through a difficult situation. You know, something happens, and we just want to be away from everybody. I just want to be left alone. You know. Do you remember when you got mad or something when you were a little kid, and you just went to the room? I just want to be myself, and you close the door. You know, and then you find out you're actually more miserable in the room by yourself, right? And you actually need people around you. You know, and we're kind of our sinful nature. We're kind of wired this way. Right? And the worst thing we can do when we're going through difficulty is isolate ourselves off from everybody else. You know, me, myself, and I. That kind of theology is never going to work. Right, if we want to be free and if we want to be released of these burdens in our life, right, and if you're helping other people in this path, in this way, do not let them isolate themselves. You know, don't let them, you know, wander off alone. You know, I mean, this is what happens. You know, I've been a pastor for so long. You know, once I see, you know, I see, okay, someone's, you know, maybe they've been coming to church regularly, you know, and all of a sudden they stop coming and they're not coming for a month, 2 months. You know what happens? You know, almost every time, but a lot of times, you know, the guy probably does something stupid, you know, or something is going on in their life and, you know, they feel they're angry at God or disconnected with God. And what do? They just isolate themselves. You know, they stop, you know, being around people. They just want to be alone. You know, and they just go out by themselves. And the enemy just sits there and has a field day with them. You know, and then eventually, you know, I mean, people always eventually come around. And sometimes people don't come around. And then they get sucked into alcoholism. Right? They get sucked into, you know, all different kind of vices. You know, all for them to just be staying alone. You know, technology has done wonderful things in our world. You know, but sometimes technology has done a disservice to us as a community. You know, we're so used to, you know, I mean, if you notice, like, I've just been noticing, you know, that the kids these days, the young kids that are growing up, they are socially inept, right? I mean, they don't go out and play sports anymore. You know, they go to, you know, to the PC room, you know, and they're playing games. They're on the internet. You know, I mean, it's like five-year-old kids have internet, you know, have email addresses. I mean, give me a break. When I was five, computers weren't around, but it's a whole other story, right? And stuff, you know, and we see that, you know, technology has really messed people up in some way. You know, and people can't interact. You hear about what happens in Japan, right? Guys are playing, you know, PC games, you know, all day long. They actually just end up dying, right? Because they're eating ramyun all the time, right? You know, noodles and instant noodles and... They don't go out and get any sunlight, and they just literally just die. You know, they actually have this Japanese phrase. Do you know, Jimmy, what this phrase is? Right, it's some Japanese phrase, and it's kind of very like a new word. You know, it's basically these guys that just kind of end up croaking, right? They end up dying, you know, through this process. You know, and that's the worst thing we can do, right? Is to isolate ourselves. You know, what we need to do when we see our friends or see our brothers and sisters that are isolating themselves. You know, they're not listening to advice. They're just wandering off on their own. We need to offer them support. Right? We need to offer them encouragement. You know, and sometimes the best thing is you just need to offer them your presence. You know, sometimes you don't really have to say anything. Right? You just got to be there and just kind of listen. You know, I felt like, I was in China this week. Thank you for praying for me, by the way. I had a great trip. It was really good. And I got to connect with Sam and Mike a lot. We actually spent a lot of time together. Play ball one of the days. That was pretty fun, and it was a good time to see what the ministry was going on and how things were happening there in China, you know. And most of the time, I just sat there and listened, you know. Because I couldn't speak, so right, it was kind of easier that way, you know. And it was myself and Pastor Park, like, we're really connected. And I just listened, you know, because you know I didn't say anything, and I think he was just so happy, right? He's just so pleased that I just listened, you know. And there's just something about just having presence there. You know, Proverbs 18:24 says, "A man of many friends comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother." You know, and this is what God is looking for each one of us. You know, invariably in our church, there's people here that are struggling. You know, I mean, come on, give me a break, right? There's people that are going through a lot of difficult times. Sometimes you may not see it, you may not know it. I remember one time. In a church, this girl came, and she kind of doesn't come very regularly. She showed up one day, you know, and all of a sudden we were just, just preached the message. And, you know, towards the end of the message, she was just bawling, man. She just lost it, you know. And so we just, you know, went to the room afterwards, and we started just praying together. There was some stuff going on in her family, you know. And afterwards, she was saying, man, I just really needed that. And I just really needed someone else to know what I was going through. You know, I mean, the nature of Hong Kong, right? The long hours, and you know, you could be so isolated from people. You know, it's like you don't know you. You know, you don't know them. They don't know you. And for some of us, it's kind of you kind of like it. You know, because it's kind of safe, but it's pseudo safe, because it just drifts into loneliness. And you know, and it's not how we were created by God, right? To be alone, to be by ourselves. You know, And when we see our brothers and sisters in these situations, man, reach out. You know, like the message, you know, Eugene Peterson's message, stoop down, reach out. You know, get a hold of someone. You know, find out what's going on in their lives. You know, and really give yourself, get a little dirty in the midst of all these things. Right? Number three, how to bear other people's burdens. Be grateful together. Right? Be grateful together. Encourage each other to stay free from bitterness. Right? Encourage each other to stay free from bitterness. I want you to turn to Hebrews 12:15. We'll read this together. Hebrews 12:15. See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it many be defiled. Right? See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, and that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it many be defiled. You know, when circumstances, like very bad circumstances happens in our life, it's very easy for us to get bitter at God. I mean, I think that's one of the first emotions that we go through. You know, whenever something bad happens, we just immediately blame God. You know, God, what did you do? You know, you messed up. You know, it could have been our wrong choices. You know, it could have been, you know, the way that we've lived our lives, you know, such negatively that brought us to this place. But yet we always blame God for some reason or another. You know, and that's not what we ought to do. And so we need to always encourage each other before the Lord, right? And be grateful together. You know, when I was in Yunbin, the second day we were there, we have about two or three missionaries that actually the Korean church supports in Yunbin. One of them is a doctor. He's actually a cardiologist. And he's a really great man. And just spending some time with him, he's probably one of the main administrators of this hospital. And the reason we went, it was their 10-year anniversary. And so they had this hospital for 10 years, and you know they got 100 beds. It's real state of the art. This is one of only two hospitals in all of China that actually conducts open heart surgeries. And so our Korean church actually gave a lump sum offering to the hospital to basically pay for one guy's surgery. And we got to meet him, and his family was so happy. You know, we gave him very Korean style, right? We gave him a check and did the handshake thing, you know. And the whole family was there. We took pictures, and they were so happy. And it was actually the guy's son. And he was quite young. He's probably about only 22 years old. And the day before we got there, he had open-heart surgery. And so he was on the bed, and you could see this, I mean, huge, right? You know, this hospital can do open-heart surgery for $6,500. Can you believe that? You go to the United States, it costs over $100,000, right? But they can do it in such a way. And, I mean, and they have no casualties in 10 years. Right and stuff, and so this is we sponsor this missionary. It's kind of now this is gonna reveal how corny I am. His name in Korean is No Park Sunny, right? No, like, but it's Dr. No, you know, James Bond. I don't know. I was just cracking up the whole time. Like every time I see him, I'd say, you know, I'd be like, I'd think in my head, man, if he was in the States, they call him Dr. No, right? And, oh, okay, James Bond. All right, any case. I don't know, I was just cracking them on my own, I don't know. Every time I saw him, I just started laughing because I was just thinking, Dr. No. I can't believe this guy's name is Dr. No. In any case, and so that's one guy. And the other guy that we sponsor is actually a Korean-American, and he's actually from L.A., and, you know, actually went to Fuller a little bit, and he runs a school for 13 disabled kids. And, you know, and about four of these kids have Down syndrome, and about another four have cerebral palsy, And a couple others have other different ailments, you know. And he basically, you know, it's basically his house, right? He got a big apartment, you know. It's like 2 hours away from Yongbyon City, and so it's quite a bit of a drive. And so he just took in these kids, you know. It's not an orphanage, and they go back to their families. But he teaches them, you know, English, Korean, Chinese language, you know, math, you know, other kind of disciplines, and it's where they can go to school. Well, he was telling me that the English teacher. She's probably, gosh, about 30-some years old, and she has cerebral palsy, but in such a way that her bottom half is missing. And so when she sits on the wheelchair, I mean, this is all she's got. And then, actually didn't notice, but when she got off the wheelchair to eat, she actually does have legs, but the legs are facing the other way. And it's just, they're just dangling. They're only about this tall. I mean, they're useless legs. You know, and so she's just an upper torso. You know, and she's an English teacher. And so I came into the English room, right? And I'm thinking, English teacher. So I say, hey, how you doing? Hey, my name's Sam. I'm from Hong Kong. And she didn't understand a word I was saying. Right? In other words, she didn't know any English, you know? And she's just teaching these kids A, B, C, D, E, F, G, right? And immediately for me, I was thinking, wow, this is incompetence, you know? And just my, this is how arrogant I am, right? This incompetent teacher. I didn't really think much about it. But then the missionary, Mr. Kim, he was actually telling me the story. And what was this? They only allowing kids into this school, basically. But she's some 30-odd years old. And, you know, so obviously she can't be a student, you know. But when he found her, this is years ago, she was suicidal. You know, she had these incredible mood swings up and down. And she didn't know God, you know. And so she's, you know, just kind of thinking, why am I this condition? You know, just up and down, up and down. And so what this missionary did is he actually gave her a job, you know, and he brought her into the school. She knows no English whatsoever, right? So he taught her English. And so she speaks a little bit, right? Taught her English and made her a teacher. You know, I mean, he just encouraged, right, the hell out of her in essence, you know, and encouraged her to, you know, to put God inside of her. And she's a believer now, you know. And when you see her, like, you think, wow, she was suicidal? Because she's got this, just the biggest smile. I have a picture on my camera. I should have shown some, actually. You know, and once you meet her, she's just, you know, she's kind of looking up, and she's just got this big smile on her face. And you feel like, wow, she's just like one of those people that just really enjoys life. That's like just kind of the immediate reaction you get. And then he's telling me this story, you know, of how she was. And, you know, and she just had these massive ups and downs. And I mean, you know, because my Korean is a little rusty, right? So, well, not little rusty. It's not that good. And so I don't know if she tried to commit suicide or, you know, other things are happening and things. But now she's just a totally changed person. And it's because of his encouragement. You know, I mean, he just went at it with her, right? And just kept encouraging her, you know, gave her a job, you know, when she's totally unqualified for, you know. And so, you know, so it's like she feels needed. Well, she feels wanted. You know, and just her spirits are just raised up like that. And I thought, man, that's just so great. I had a wonderful time with that guy. I thought he was just the coolest guy, right? I mean, he's got, you know, it's not like a huge school. Like, the hospital is really well known. I mean, they're you know, in China, they're one of the most well-known hospitals in all of China. You know, I think, oh, that's cool. But this guy's got this little dinky school, right? 2 hours away. You know, I mean, and the road is just, I mean, it's just nasty, man. You know, worse than Uzbekistan, some of you guys, right? You know, and you know, going out there, and he's just, you know, he uses his bedroom as a classroom, right? You know, and so, you know, he takes a table out and he sleeps there, and it's just like, I just so admire what this guy's doing. And all he's doing is just encouraging these kids. He's saying at first that a lot of these kids, you know, because of cerebral palsy, they actually couldn't write, you know, but now they actually write, you know. And I was kind of feeling pretty stupid because during lunch they were playing, you know, the Korean chess. You know, with those pieces and stuff, I can't play that, right? And they were playing with one another, and they were really good, man, right? So you got this one Down syndrome kid playing this kid with cerebral palsy, right? And they were really good, you know, and so much so that Pastor Park, because, you know, these guys play, and, you know, and Dave's dad, right, Elder Chung, they were sitting there, and they were just kind of like, just sort of watching them, and they were like, wow, these guys are really good, you know? And I was sitting down on the couch kind of feeling stupid because I don't know how to play this game, right? You know, I was thinking, wow, this is kind of... You know, anyways, and so it's kind of a real interesting time, you know, and all this guy does, man, he just encourages them, just keeps encouraging them, right, and he encourages them, and he just loves them, and he stay away from bitterness. You know, I mean, if you're in that situation, I'd say it's pretty easy to become bitter. I mean, wouldn't you think? You know, I don't know, sometimes I get very morbid thoughts, you know, and every once in a while I used to think, if I couldn't use one part of my body, which part could I just give up? You guys ever think about stuff like that? You know, and I used to be like, I can give up my big toe, and I lose my sense of balance. You know, and I can give up this. You know what? Conclusion, I can give up this finger. I don't need this finger, I realize. You know, I can do without this finger. You know, well, it's okay. I could, a stub, I could just get a big ring and put it over my stub. But this is it. You know, I realize I need every other part of my body. You know, I mean, I can't lose this ear. It won't look good. You know, I can't, you know what I mean? Like, I can't, pinkies are kind of important, even though we may not think so in things. But obviously, I need my right hand. I don't know why, I'm just bad. I haven't got a lot of sleep, right? I came home really late from the airport, so that's my excuse for rambling on. But be grateful together, right? Be grateful together, right? Focus and remember Right? Remember to be grateful and focus on what is left, not on what is lost. Right? Sometimes we forget about that, right? We get so focused on what we lost, but we don't realize what we have left still to enjoy. You know, the saddest thing is I see when people, families lose, you know, siblings. You know, this is quite a very common thing. And, you know, it could be like someone, like a younger brother loses an older brother very early. And the parents are so grieved at the loss of the older sibling, they barely pay any attention to the younger sibling. You know, and I think, man, they're just so focused on what is lost. They don't really focus on what has been left, you know, for us to really enjoy in life. All right, so be grateful together. Number four, it's a very important one. Focus on true value. Right? Focus on what really matters. A lot of times, crises in our life often helps us to clarify our values. Right? It reveals to us what really matters in our life. Right? Jesus told us in Luke 12:15, life is not measured, right, by how much one owns. Right? Life is not measured by how much one owns. You know, have you ever seen those bumper stickers? It's probably more prevalent in the 80s, you know, if you grew up in the States. You know, he who dies with the most toys wins. You ever see that bumper sticker? I think, what an idiot, man, right? Right? He who dies with the most toys wins. And then some other smart aleck guy came up with another bumper sticker. Did you ever read that? And it says, he who dies with the most toys dies. Right? So I thought it was, right? Dies anyway. I thought that was pretty clever. You know, but we focus on what's really true. Right? We lean on Christ. We let Christ bring stability into the crisis. Right? God constantly cares for his children, helping each one of us face bad news. Right? Psalm 112:6-7, you can read it later. You know, there's something about moments of crisis that really puts things in incredible perspective. You know, going back to September 11th, you know, when September 11th happened, for me personally, it was a wake-up call. You know, and actually during that time, I was praying about moving to Korea. You know, I mean, I was pursuing Lisa and all these things, but, you know, I mean, I needed to, you know, to advance in my career, you know. And so I had a job opportunity. I think Myeongseong Church. I don't know if you heard. It's like a huge church in Korea. And so they want me to come you know, the English ministry there and stuff. And I was thinking about going, you know, and I was kind of playing it through in my ear. And I was like, maybe I should go, maybe I shouldn't go. And then 9/11 happened, you know, and I saw that. And it was all of a sudden, it's like, whoa. And I came to the conclusion, I need to get married, man. I need to get married right now. You know, and stuff, and that's kind of, that, for me, that was like a changing point. I said, forget Korea, forget everything else. I'm here. You know, I came to realize that the most important thing in my life at that point was Lisa. You know, and I realized, okay, all right, forget my career, forget ministry, forget all these things. Okay, this is what's important to me. You know, there's something about crisis that really does that, right? You know. I mean, if you think about this, you know, if your house is burning down, you know, you got kids inside there, you know, are you going to go in and grab your television set, you know, or go in and get your DVD collection, you know, or, you know what I mean? Or you're going to get your stereo system, right? I mean, you're going to get the things that are precious, right? Hopefully your kids, you know, whoops, you know, maybe pets, you know what I mean? Like, you know, maybe photographs, you know, maybe your checkbook, you know, I mean, you can get another checkbook and things, but you take what's precious to you. And moments of crisis, you know, really bring you to that point. You know, and I wonder, maybe we can sit down this week and think about, man, what's really precious to me? You know, I remember one of my pastors, John Wimber, he said one time in his message, he says, what do you value? And then on top of that, he goes, what do you value? And then he says, what are you doing about it? You know, and it really made me think, I said, what do I value? Realize, well, I value God, I value the church, I value relationships, you know, and then, but why are you spending so much time doing other things then? It's like, good question, right? Very good question. You know, what do you value, and what are you doing about it? And there's something about crisis in our life that really highlight those things that we value. Man, if you value relationships, spend time with people. If you value your families, spend time with your families. You know, I mean, apologize to your parents. I'm sure you have something to say sorry for. You know, trust me, you probably do. Right? I mean, you know, I mean, what do you really value? give yourself to those things that you value, right? I mean, be true to those convictions. And right? Focus on true value. Right? This is what you need to do to help others in their life. Help them to focus. Another one is in the midst of crisis, as you're bearing a burden or you're helping others, listen for God's direction. Right? Listen for God's direction. Right? Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Right? Plans for welfare, not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. And so we recognize that God has got good plans for us. Right? There's something good that God wants to happen and wants to do in our lives. You know, and so we need to listen for God's direction. Right? He's got the plans. He's got the strategies in our life. We need to listen to that. You know, it's been said that sometimes when God closes a door, He opens a window. You know, and you need to be aware of that. Sometimes we think, oh, I didn't get this job. Bam, this door closes. And God's got this whole other plan before you. That's an incredible plan. That's not even just a job. It's a career. It's a future. It's a hope. You know, and we need to be aware of these things, that when these doors slam and when these trials and tribulations and difficulties are slamming in our face, God may be opening this beautiful window, right, to His heart and to understanding, and that we just need to find that window. You know, I shared, you know, about a month ago about when I came to Hong Kong, and, you know, remember YWAM rejected me, right? I mean, I think I'm the only person in the history of YWAM that actually got rejected, you know, and then that summer I ended up tearing my ACL in my knee, you know, and I was just devastated, you know, and I thought, man, God, you know, how can you do this to me? You know, and it's like this door shut, and I don't understand, God opened this wonderful window, you know, and just within, you know, a month, you know, I was working at a church. I never thought I'd become a pastor. I mean, never in my life would I ever thought become a pastor. I mean, trust me. I mean, I've been one for 11 years now. But if you ask me before, and even my friends, you know, sometimes I run into people that I knew a long time ago, and invariably they ask, what do you do? You know, and I say, oh, you know, and I kind of like, so I'm a pastor now. You know, and they're like, what? No, get out. You're kidding me, man. Come on, tell me, what do you really do? No. I'm actually a reverend. You know, and I actually have to, like, they don't have to actually bust out my business card and say, look, I'm telling you the truth, man. You know, and so, I mean, I would have never thought, you know, but, you know, hurt my knee, I have to leave Hong Kong and these kind of things. And God brings me into, for me, what I thought was the perfect church. You know, gave me a senior pastor that just loved me to death. You know, he's still my spiritual father. You know, friends, you know, people in ministry, you know, students. It's amazing. A lot of my students are having babies right now. Can you believe that? That's either I'm old, man, or, you know, it just means I'm old, basically. You know, I mean, these are like I was their high school pastor, and they're having babies already and things, getting married off. And I mean, it's just so amazing, you know, and God's put so many special people in my life. And I mean, I couldn't imagine doing anything else besides pastoring. You know, and sometimes when the door shuts, man, right, there's a window of incredible opportunity that's awaiting us. You know, and we need to be aware of that. And so look for God's direction in moments of crisis. Right? Look to see what God is doing. Right? That's what I love about Jesus, right? Jesus, he simply starts off every day and he says, you know, I do nothing on my own initiative. I only do what I see the Father doing. Right? And he says, I'm of my Father's business. Right? I do nothing on my own. I just whatever Father does, right, that's what I'm going to do. And we need to be people like that, right? That we're just about the Father's business. Whatever we see the Father doing, that's what we're going to do. That's how we're going to live our life, right? I mean, it would be such a simple way if we did that, right? So listen for God's direction. The last one, trust God's hand. If you're bearing someone's burden or helping them to, help them to trust God's hand. Let's turn to Psalm 46. Psalm 46, verse 1 and 2. It says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride. And he says, we will not fear, right? Because our God is our refuge. Right? We trust God's hand. Right? We say, man, even the earth shakes. Even if the earth falls into the sea, I will fear no evil. Right? You know, David says right in the Psalm, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. You know, because I rod and that staff, they comfort me. You know, and this is the heart of someone that knows God and understands. You know, I don't know if it was Oswald Chambers or someone else said this. He says, a man will not fear who knows that his God is omnipotent. Right? A man, right, will not fear, right, that knows that his God is omnipotent. And we understand that God is powerful and strong and that we're in his hands. There's no need to fear. You know, I mean, I think I can very honestly say, since I've become a Christian, you know, or obviously there have been a few times, but since I've really given my heart to God, I mean, 100% surrendered my life to God, I don't think I can probably count on my hand, you know, probably on two fingers, you know, how many times I've been fearful in my life. Now, I mean, obviously, I was really afraid when I watched The Ring, okay? I'm not talking about that kind of fear. I mean, that was one scary movie, man. That freaked me out, man. It was an American. I heard the Japanese version is even worse. You know, I don't even want to go near that one. And so, of course, I got freaked out watching The Ring. That's not the fear I'm talking about. Right? The fear I'm talking about is, like, being worried about my life. You know, what am I going to do? Are the bills going to be paid? You know, I can honestly say, you know, because I understand this principle. God is my refuge. He is my rock. Right? He's the rock that is higher than I, the psalmist will say. And because of that, I mean, what do I need to fear? You know, I mean, I've had guns put in my face. You know, as a Christian, you know, when you die, it's a promotion. I mean, have you ever figured that out yet? You know, like you die, you're promoted to glory. You know, I mean, that's why he says, death, where's your victory? Death, where's your sting? It's been lost because of Christ. But you got to have that put inside of you, right? You trust God's hand. You know, we should see crises in the life of each other, you know, as if it's our very own. That's the only way we will carry other people's burdens. You know, it's the only way that's going to happen, right? We got to get dirty. Because, you know, one day, each of us are going to need the same help to make it through a difficult time. You know, and trust, I know what Hong Kong's like, man. You know, and I've only been here for a few years, but I know the disconnectedness that this place can have. You know, everything's moving so fast, and, you know, and then especially people are everyone's kind of temporary. You know what I mean? Like no one is really from Hong Kong, except for Jung and Sangwan and, you know, a couple other people. I mean, sorry, Tom, right? You know what I mean? You know, I mean, everyone else is from everywhere else, and we're all going to eventually go everywhere else. Even the ones in Hong Kong want to go everywhere else. You know what I mean? And so you get so easy to think, well, why, you know, it's like you're going to be gone in a few years, and you may be gone next month. You know, who never knows, right? You may just get a call and be sent back to your head office, you know, any moment. You know, and so because of that, we live in this kind of tension, and it's almost like we don't really want to open ourselves up to one another, you know, and because we don't want to say goodbye, I think it's kind of a cheap excuse, you know, but we just want, in some ways, we just don't want to be bothered, you know, by having to be in relationship with people, because we may go, you know, they may go, you know, and it's the curse of Hong Kong in some ways, you know, and we ought not to do that, especially as a church, you know, and especially when people are going in and out and these things are happening, to take those things and take the time that we do have with one another to be very, very precious and to really value the time that we have with one another. You know, when I was in Yanbian, I mean, I was only there for like 5 days. I thought I was there for a year, man. It seemed like it was so long, you know. And when I was there, obviously, I was thinking a lot about church, praying a lot about church and stuff. And, man, I really missed Solomon's Porch. You know, it makes kind of sound weird, right? I miss Tuesday morning. I miss, you know, Bible study. You know, I miss seeing many of you guys, all of you guys, I should say, not just many, right? I mean, I really did. I really miss you guys, you know, and especially when I was praying for you. You know, I could just see your face, you know, and I think, wow, I sure would like to see that person. Of course, I miss my wife, man. Oh, my goodness. I miss my wife, too. That's kind of painful, you know. But, you know, and we should really value, each one of us, the time that we do have with one another. You know, you may be gone, you know, next week, next year, next month, you know, but to really value this time that we do have with one another as a church. You know, and a way that we can do that in fulfilling Christ's law is that we bear each other's burdens. We get downright dirty, right? And we help each other, and we probe, and you know, and even be a nuisance in some ways. You know, I remember, you know, sorry, Jungmin, I'm going to embarrass him a little bit. All right, one time, Jungmin kind of overslept, you know, and didn't come to church and stuff. And, you know, and he actually, you had to teach Sunday school that day, man, right? And so he's kind of no-show. So everyone's all like freaking out. What the heck happened to Jungmin? You know, and then right after that, man, like six guys went over to his house. And, you know, like, where does Jungmin live, man? You know, we know the building. Where's his apartment number? You know, we're trying to figure it out. And I was thinking, wow, that's such a good picture of church. You know, I'm sure they were going to go to wring his neck. You know, that's a whole other thing. But, you know, first make sure he's okay and then wring his neck afterwards and things. But, you know, it's kind of like it's a good picture of church, right? I mean, people are concerned. You know, a lot of us here, we don't have family here in Hong Kong. Do you know what I mean? You know, we can't go over to our grandma's house and have a home-cooked meal. You know, we can't, you know, run home to our parents' house, you know, and you know, borrow money from them. Or, you know what I mean? Or, you know, because our family's all over the place. But we can be a family to one another, right? We really can. You know, I'm not going to be your dad, right? So don't ask me for money and things. You know, but we can be brothers and sisters with one another. You know, we can really help each other. You know, yesterday in our prayer meeting amongst the guys, we were just praying, you know, about certain guys that wanted to get a job and stuff. And I was just like, hey, dude, you get him a job, man. You know, and we're just, hey, you work, yeah, help this guy out, you know. And this is what we should be about. You know, someone is struggling with this, and we should be able to lift them up. You know, someone's having financial difficulties. You know, we should be able to there to support in any way, even if it means opening up our wallets and saying, here. You know, I mean, this is church, guys. I mean, this is what church is supposed to be like, you know. I mean, if people are having difficulties, you know, we should be able to come talk to one another, you know, and share our hearts with each other without feeling condemned, you know, without feeling, you know, that we have to justify ourselves. And, you know, and even just say, man, I just don't love God right now. You know, and it should be okay that we say that to one another. You know, we don't have to be perfect. God doesn't want perfection. I mean, that's not what he's about. Only Jesus is perfect. Now, that's not what he's looking for. He's looking for faithfulness. And even on top of that, God is just simply looking for honesty. You know, and I really believe that God really wants to build a community. I don't know if you recognize kind of the messages the last few weeks, right? Kind of all rolling on the same theme of community. You know, of what we can aspire to be as a church. You know, a home away from home for some of us, you know, that don't have families here. And that we could really care for one another. You know, and really, you know, bear each other's burdens. I mean, just downright get dirty with one another. You know, get our hands, you know, and our faces all muddied up because we're helping and we're serving one another. I want to be a part of a church like that. I imagine that most of you want to be a part of a church like that. And so, kind of like, let's make it happen. You know what I mean? And let's make it happen. You know, and bearing other burdens, it goes both ways. You know, there's always a giver and there's always a receiver. You know, and so when we're in the receiving mode, receive. We're in the giving mode, give. You know, and this is a great balance at all. Because sometimes you'll need that word of encouragement. You know, you'll need it a lot. And other times, you'll be the one that dispenses that word of encouragement. I mean, that's the beautiful thing about it all. Right? You give and you take and you give and you take. You know, and this is like life giving, you know, in the flow of life to one another. You know, and this is what God wants from us as a church. You know, this is what he's really looking for. You know, this is the whole reason why we've gathered together as a community, as a body. Right? Working together, each one of us, with one another. And so that means, you know, I'll give you some very tangible things. You know, that means after church, you know, as soon as I say amen, you know, you don't have to run out to the door, you know? Like, there's, like, no diseases in this room, really, you know? Like, you're not going to catch anything. You can actually hang out and talk a little bit and get to know one another, you know, a little bit. It's okay. I mean, if you got to go to work and those kind of things, that's cool and stuff. But, I mean, like the scripture says, don't deceive yourself. You know, if you, you know, it says if this is, you know, if I'm not saying this about any of you guys, but I'm just reading what the Bible says, right? And if you think you're too good for this, you're deceiving yourself, you know, and so you got to kind of be aware of that, you know, and start opening up yourselves to one another. You know, I don't know. I mean, obviously I'm a pastor of this church, but I think there's good people in this church. You know, I mean, I genuinely like the people that I go to church with, You know, I mean, trust me, I've been in other churches. I don't really like people in my church, you know, so I know what that feels like sometimes. But I genuinely enjoy the company, you know, and I feel like we can have people over to our house anytime, you know, we can just hang out, watch a movie. We watched Braveheart yesterday. It was pretty awesome, man, right? You know, and just, you know, it was just kind of like I just feel comfortable with people here. And I think that, you know, it goes both ways, and I think even with amongst one another. I think we have a friendly church. That's just my personal opinion, you know. But I think it's our church is worth enough that we can open ourselves up to it, you know, to one another. And not only because God wants it, because it'll be good for you. Right? It'll be good for us, right? Since we are the body of Christ. Let me read this. This is from the Living Bible. It's a translation of 2 Corinthians 1, 8 to 10. And this is what Paul says. And it says, "We were really crushed and overwhelmed and feared we'll never live through it. We saw how powerless we were to help ourselves, but that was good. For then we put everything into the hands of God, who alone could save us. And He did help us and save us. And we expect Him to do it again and again." Right? What a great verse. You want me to read it again?
Yes.
I'll do it again. "We are really crushed and overwhelmed and feared we will never live through it. We saw how powerless we were to help ourselves, but that was good. For then we put everything into the hands of God, who alone could save us. And He did help us and save us. And we expect Him to do it again and again." You know, and the simple fact of what Paul is saying here, and the simple fact of our lives, is God's going to help us. You know, the way, the means by which He helps us, it's going to be through each other. It's going to be through each one of us. We can say at the end, "Yo, God's the one who did it." But it's our hands, it's our feet, our mouths, and our ears, and our eyes that helped Him do it. Right? That's what this whole thing's all about. Right? We bear one another's burdens and thus fulfill the law of Christ. I just close with this last statement. You know, just even in that story of Da Vinci. And Jesus is looking out to us. "Will not what I have started, does this not inspire you to do your very best?" Amen. Let's close our eyes. It was actually my intention today to preach very short. I did pretty good. I got back to the first page like in 5 minutes and I was rolling, then got stuck up as usual. But the reason why I wanted to keep it short is I actually wanted to spend a good amount of time praying with one another. I want to encourage you, just right where you're sitting, just get with about two or three people. You know, you can do this right now, you know, and just kind of make a little group with each other. And if you want to do girls, 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 guy, 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 that's cool. You know, we can do cross-gender as well, right? That's okay. If you don't know the person next to you, even better. Right, everyone, you can move your chairs around, that's okay. Get comfortable. And in light of what I was sharing today, obviously, you don't have to pour out your heart, right? You don't really know each other. Unless if you do, then you can. But I want to encourage you to start sharing yourself with each other, right? So what's going on in your life these days? You know, what are your challenges? You know, what's happening? And then pray for one another. Right? I'm going to give you some time to do this, okay? So, you know, preferably two or three. I know you guys got four. One of you guys can come up with Sangwon. So the group is not too big, so you guys don't talk forever. Okay? No, two or three is okay, right? Now, don't share who you think is going to win the NBA championship next year, right? You know, don't share what you think about NASCAR or anything else. Don't share what you're going to go have for lunch later or dinner later, right? Share about yourself, okay? You know, I mean, just real honestly, if you can start giving yourself to one another in that way, and then pray for one another. Sometimes the best thing to do is say, "Hi, my name is Sam," you know, if you don't know each other's name, obviously. And then pray for it. I'll give you some time to do that. Is that okay? And I'll call you back later on. Share as much as you want to share, as little as you want to share. heavy.